Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. For those of you who do not know, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And what we do here at the PRF table, we come together every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to just talk about how possessions, resources, and finances just affects everybody's life. And so what we want to do is just welcome Mary Ann Williams. Around here, we call her Mama. She's one of the hosts of this show. The other host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. But Mama, how are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm doing very well, my son. And good evening to my PRF family. Just so glad and excited that you are here with us this evening. And just to have a seat at the table. Thank you for joining us. And on with the show. Amen.
All right. You know, I try to hold it. I try to contain it. I don't know how long this show is going to be tonight, Mama, but here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Today is November the 10th. It's 2 days after an election cycle. So now here's the question. What do we do from here? I was at church yesterday, and the pastor was talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And you know, Mama, from listening to this show, how many times we have lived within Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Yes.
That we have to be transformed in our mind, right? We can't conform
yes.
to this world. And I thought it was such a timely scripture, in addition
yes.
to the word, for what was being taught at Bible study. But it was a timely scripture because, and I hate when people say this because it sounds so cliche-ish, but if there ever was a time where people need to be renewing their mind, Lord
yes.
knows, 2 days after November 8th, it needs to be right now.
Yes.
And I say that because one of the statistics that came from the CDC, they talked about how many millions of dollars, I think it was like $300 million that have was spent annually for people dealing with mental illnesses. $300 million spent. That was like 2002, if I'm not mistaken. And so when you think about today, I mean, if you just multiply that twice, I mean, come on, it's just a lot of money. But one of the things in there was that mental illness is connected to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and so basically it's connected to health challenges. And
yes.
and so what the pastor was talking about last night, this Bible study, was how we as believers, we have to just really focus on changing our mind where our minds need to be changed, allowing our minds
yes.
to be changed where we think they don't need to be changed, because sometimes we have stinking thinking and don't even know it. And he was speaking from the context of our physical health and how our physical health is a reflection of oftentimes what we think and what's in our minds, what we allow to come into our various ports of entry, if you will, such as our eyes, such as our ears. You know, those are things start playing in our mind. You see something like, okay, did I really just see that? And yeah, you really just saw that. Did I really just hear that? Yeah, I really just heard that. And you can't unring a bell. You can't take away something that you saw. Whatever you saw, whatever you heard it. And oftentimes what happens is there's always going to be triggers. There's triggers that will trigger something that you saw, trigger something that you heard. And so if you're not in a position, or if you're not making yourself I'm keenly aware that you have to be renewing your mind on a daily basis, because there is so much stuff out here, so much stuff on the internet, so much stuff in the phone calls that come from your girlfriend or your boyfriend, right, or your homeboy or your homegirl or your husband or your wife. So many things that come to you just from being at work around a whole bunch of folk that's pissed off right now, right? just, I mean, reality, you know, some folks won the other day, right? They feel they won.
Yes.
And still mad. How you win and still mad? I don't know nobody that just won the lottery and still mad after that. Something wrong with that picture. That means there's something else going on inside of you, right? Let me win the lottery. Yeah. Let me hit just 500,000. You know what? You ain't going to have to worry about me. So,
instant mind change.
Instant. That's right. That's right. I'm instantly quitting this job. So there's some things that we have to do. Our mind has to be really focused on God, focus on what Jesus did for us on the cross, focus on our salvation. And at the same time, there has to be a focus on our possessions, our resources, and our finances. Stewardship is critical. How we deal with credit and debt is critical. How we deal with our wills and our inheritance and whether we have insurance or not. It's critical. How we give, who we give to, why we give, how we tithe, if we tithe, why we don't tithe, is critical. How we plan, how we put stuff away for later on, how we stop procrastinating and do what we need to do for later on and save. All that stuff is critical. So I say all that to say, regardless of what has occurred on November the 8th or November the 9th, you know, I went to bed, so I don't know when it actually occurred. I just know when I woke up in the morning, I knew what was what. No matter what has happened, we have to stay focused as believers. And all that we've been talking about, Mama, over these last couple of years, it's not like we had to talk about something new.
Yeah.
We get to still talk about the same thing we've been talking about, those same areas, financial healing, stewardship, God owning everything, being putting things into a personal financial inventory, credit, debt, just the same thing I just said. We have to continue talking about those things. We cannot let our minds be conformed or let our beings be conformed to this world where we lose sight of what we know is important. God has given us this mission of PRF, and it is so important. And I'll be honest with you. I talked to somebody today, and they was like, I was wondering where you were at. They said, well, send me this across Facebook. I said, no. And I told them that I just haven't been on Facebook in a couple of weeks. And they said, I said, well, here's the information that you need, but, you know, I'm just not on Facebook right now. And I could just imagine how many people have allowed themselves to get off track just since Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, just to get off track. It's a shame. But we're going to stay focused. I'm talking about PRF. We're going to stay focused. We're going to stay vigilant. We're going to continue to go forward with what God has called us to do. And nothing's going to change. We may go deeper. We may go deeper. But yeah. Let me tell you something. It was something because on election night, we were watching TV and, you know, didn't sit and watch the whole thing like some folks. That's fine if you did. This just wasn't what we were going to do in Dunlap household. And I saw how all of the different markets around the world, so especially some of the major ones, right, in Europe and Asia, you know, and you know, China and France, and we saw how the dollar was affected. I think the dollar just went down dramatically in China. And this was before the election was even over. We saw that. We know that there's an economic impact to what happened the other day. We know that because we saw it before results came in. And so if there's a time, right, if there ever was a time, for real, where God's people need to, you know, really just probably hold on to 2 Chronicles 7:14 is right now.
Yeah.
But here's the shame. Here's the part that I think is kind of unfortunate. Because when we look at that, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, then if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. So oftentimes, people are looking for the last part of that one verse. I will heal their land. I will restore their land. And not taking into account the other stuff that comes before it. Now, here's the deal. What happened the other night with our election in this country was very shocking to a lot of people. Shocking. Not just in America, but also around the world. One country is probably happy, but, you know, a lot of other ones is just like really shocked. Like, really, did that just happen? America, did y'all really do that? Yeah, America did it. So now people may be in this mindset. They have some fear about what's the state of America going to be. And I think I just want to encourage folks, it's not the state of what America is going to be. It's where the state of you. Where's the state of the church going to be? A house divided cannot stand.
Man, right.
If you do not realize right now, people who are listening, that the church has really been divided. And it didn't start with over a year ago. It didn't start with the nominee. It was already there. It was already there. This last year and a half, or however long it's been, you know, you can put a different date on it. But during this political season, all it did was just expose some people to who they really were inside. Friendships have been lost. Folks don't want to go to church with folks no more. Folks stop going to church with folks. Folks don't want to talk to folks. Folks have unfriended folks on Facebook. I know I'm talking to some people that know it and have done it. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about within the body of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Within the body of Christ. And here's the reality. The one who is really, really happy ain't nobody but the enemy.
Right.
The enemy is the one that's happy, because the enemy is happy that the church has been divided and divided and divided. The church has been more divided in this political season than it was prior in 2007, 2008. Oh, yeah, it exposed a whole bunch of folk then. But we've seen the same thing this time. A whole bunch of people have been exposed for some behaviors that we can easily say are not Christ-like. We saw some stuff in 2008, a lot of stuff that was just evil, unchrist-like, ungodly, all of that, whatever language you want to put on it. We saw it again in this political season. And so then when I look at something like 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the last part of 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then I will heal the land. But here's the first thing you got to know, Jack. God ain't healing nothing and giving you the promise of that healing unless you do what he has suggested that you do beforehand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, in 08, we had some opportunities. In 12, we had some opportunities. Here in 16, we have some opportunities. For some reason, it seems like there are so many that missed those opportunities. And so if the opportunities have been missed, then how can we expect the healing? Because we have a course called Financial Healing. That's one of our courses. And in financial healing, we know that oftentimes with healing in general, we understand that the healing is there in most cases, in so many cases, is there. We believe that in the spiritual, right? Because if you don't believe that in the spiritual, ain't no need of you praying when somebody gets sick. You don't need praying when they repossess your stuff. You don't need praying when you get the foreclosure thing or the eviction notice. You don't need a praying if you don't believe that some stuff is happening in the spiritual. What has to happen is the physical has to catch up with the spiritual. And the one that operates the physical is us, the ones who God has created.
Right. So
we've had opportunity over and over and over again. And if and listen, you can't say that we are not in need of financial healing in this country. Can't say it. Let me tell you how you know we need financial healing in this country. If you go to Atlanta, go around Auburn Avenue, go downtown around, what is it, around the CNN Center, and you'll see some areas that have a lot of homeless people. Go to Austin, Texas, right across the street from the police station. Right a corner from the police station. You'll see a lot of homeless people all on the side of the highways and living up under the highway. And it's visible. They're not in the shadows. They out in the open. But yet, we ain't got to go across the waters overseas. But yet, how much money is going to be spent? Y'all knew I was going to come on this. You know I was getting there. How much money is going to be spent if history is any indicator in 2 weeks? See, 2 weeks from now is Thanksgiving. The day after 2 weeks from now is Black Friday. After that, Black Friday weekend. After that, Cyber Monday. And then we come around and have something called Giving Tuesday. We got Giving Tuesday after the time of Thanksgiving when people spend billions of dollars on stuff. Every year, spending is just unbelievable. So how many people don't have life insurance? 43% of the country. So you take your 100-member church,
yeah,
and you just consider the likelihood of 57 people out of the 100 people in your 100-member church only have life insurance. 57% of people in the country have life insurance, so 43 don't. Who's those 43 people? Well, I can tell you one of them in a lot of cases is going to be the person speaking to you from the pulpit or sitting up there with him or her or wherever y'all sit in your church. I'm not letting anybody get out of that. We are in a time where we really need financial healing in this country. A lot of churches are in need of financial healing. And there has to be something that the people are going to do. Go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, right?
Yes.
The healing of the land was the last thing. But it wasn't the only thing that God said he was going to do. The first thing that he said he would do was he would hear from heaven. He will hear their cries. He will hear what they are crying out to him for. The second thing that he said was, he'll forgive their sins. Lord, have mercy. If you can't call so much of what has happened over the last, just say last year, sinful, I would say there's a challenge with that person's Christianity or belief in Christ. Or trusting God, because it's been terrible. Let's call it what it was. Terrible.
Yeah.
You see, now we're at a time where some folks don't know what to do. People that you thought were your friends, people that you thought were good colleagues, people that you thought was good Christian folk, all this stuff is just up in the air, and the devil is so happy. Here's what can't happen. Nobody can go back and take back anything that they've said on Facebook about either candidate. Can't do it. Can't take back a tweet. Can't take back anything you said on the radio or on TV. And so now, if there is a healing of the land, which oftentimes healing is a process, how in the world are we going to come together to deal with the ills of society as a church, as the universal church? Okay, let me break that down. That's a little bit too big for folks. In your church in Atlanta, right? Your churches in Atlanta, and your churches in Philly, and your churches in Georgia. How are we going to come and do that? And can I say this as well? It's good for any of my ministerial colleagues to encourage people right now. Trust God. To encourage people that God is on the throne. To encourage people that God is in control. Those are good things. Those are things that are actually needed. Now, if we just stay there and we don't do our part, then God sits on the throne and he's still going to be on the throne. God is in charge, he's still going to be in charge. But in order for some things to change, there has to be a changing of some minds. There has to be some changing of some hearts so that we can get to the business at hand.
Yes.
See, everybody who thinks they're secure financially, economically, ain't secure financially or economically. Folks that have been able, listen, so many folks that have been able to live good, live on a hog, as I've heard it say in the South, it ain't guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. So when it's not guaranteed, what do? We can't wait until something falls beneath the crack, between the cracks, and now start, oh, let's come together and be about unity. Uh-uh. Don't work like that. You got to go back to the beginning of that verse. The beginning of the verse says, if my people. So here's the issue. Here's one of the issues. Everybody is his people, but we're not acting like his people. We've not acted like his people. And because so many have not acted like his people, and God is not getting the type of good name that he deserves because of all that he's done for us, we stuck right there. It says, if my people who are called by my name, that puts it into a whole different context. Because when you say call by my name, that means you slapping that Christian sticker on your forehead.
Yes.
You're walking into your job with that, you know, like, you know, you got Superman has that S on his chest with that big old C or JC on your chest walking into work on Monday morning.
Yes.
People know who we are, and they expect more. And people outside of the fold of the body of Christ are looking at a lot of us. And, you know, I don't like putting myself into no bubble, Mama. You know that. But there's a whole bunch of people looking at us from the outside, looking at us on the inside like, why in the heck do I want to even be involved with y'all? I can do better on the outside. And so when you got people on the outside that's of the world, that don't mean they're bad people. It may just mean they don't want to fool with us.
Amen.
They're looking for stuff. I remember telling Jazz, I said, look, when you go to work, don't get involved in a bunch of conversations. This was day after the election. Don't get involved with a bunch of conversations. I said, because you don't know who's who. Some folk may have you believing that they're for one person and they're really for the other. And you never know when they'll bring that stuff back up. You never know when they may become more quicker than you and remember some of the things that you said. So we got to be so cautious right now. Again, people who are called by his name, we have to be so cautious about what's going on, what we're doing, how we're doing it, because some stuff has to be turned back. But again, you really can't turn it back. So now you just have to change it. And it takes even more work, if you will, to get people to realize, you know what, I know I was talking about this person so super bad, and you know it, but I love all people. Shut your mouth. What? That don't even sound right coming out your mouth.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If you go to Matthew 25, Matthew 25 talks about Jesus spoke about when I'm hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me, right? What you do for the least of these, what you do for the least of these, you do unto me. Those are socioeconomic matters, no matter how you want to term it, right?
Yes.
Somebody's hungry, don't have anything to eat. If somebody has, if their situation was different, then that person would have something to eat. They would have the necessary tools to be able to get something to eat.
Yes.
But evidently they don't, which is why they're in need. And so here's where I was going with this whole thing, and I'm done really. Folks are not going to come to some of us who profess and proclaim the name of Christ because of so much of what they've seen from some of us during this process. So it now becomes very bad, in my opinion, where you have people that will be in need, but because, you know what, you're against this such and such a thing. And how do I know you were against it? Because the way you talked about this other person during this process. So you were against that. So now that I'm in that situation, why am I going to come to you? Because I know what you support. And let me say this. I don't care which side of the aisle what I'm saying falls on. It doesn't matter because it ain't been right on neither side if we really tell the truth. We really tell
the truth. That's
true. But here's the thing. Remember when what God said, I will hear from heaven. People are crying. People are hurting. People are in a bad state of mind right now. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. That's the place where we really want God to step in.
Yes.
However, now watch this. God can easily and quickly forgive sin a whole lot faster than we do as humans.
Yes.
So some of the things that have been committed, some of what has been spoken and has been said, people a little bit longer to get over some of that stuff. Even if it hasn't totally affected somebody right now. If you hear me talking about those bums on the street, you hear me talking that.
Yeah.
You're not going to send somebody who is homeless, the person I referred to as a bum, you're not going to send them to me because you already know how I think and feel about this thing.
Right.
That's a bum to me. Why are you going to send somebody homeless who you respect and you know is one of God's children just in a fix for whatever reason or you know they're in need? You're not going to send that person to me knowing that I classify them as a bum.
Yeah.
That's just one example. That's just the first one. Getting hungry, right? That's just the first one in that Matthew 25. I have no idea what it's going to take for us as the body of Christ. This, my church, my community, my city, we can stop there. Don't know what it's going to take. We've been praying. Some of us have been praying for a long time. And I know the word of God tells us to pray without ceasing. So let's not cease the prayers. But I believe God's grace is sufficient for me to take a break for a moment and say, okay, God, what's going on with this? And there's a very good example, if you will, in Jeremiah 29. So many folks are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, not for evil, to give you hope and expected end, or to give you future and hope. This is another one of these conversations where God is saying to his people, look, I know the plan. I know the end. My plan for you is to give you future and a hope. So what about the folk that's feeling hopeless right now?
Mm.
What about folks that just really don't feel that they got a good future ahead? It has to be talked about. And let's take it into context. The context was not about God just saying, look, everything's going to be good with you. The context was, if you go to the, again, that's Jeremiah 29:11. What does verse 10 say? What does verse 10 say?
For, let me read it.
Sure.
Okay. For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place.
Okay. This place to bring you back home again. Remember, the children of Israel were taken and they were placed in bondage, Babylonian captivity. They were taken from the place where God had them, their home, taken and put into captivity, bondage. And he's saying, after you've been there for 70 years, I'm going to take you to the place that you once were, which is a place that my name was honored. My name was reverenced. My name has been worshipped. Where I was in control of what was going on in the community, in the land. I'm going to take you back to that place. But I ain't going to do it for 70 years. Well, that's refreshing. Is that refreshing, 70 years?
No. It's so, like hopeless. So,
it's right. It seems hopeless. But God is the one who's in control. So he and he alone is the one who knows the plan that he has for each one of us. Now, this was not about individuals. This was about a community. Jeremiah wasn't speaking this to this person over here, that person over there. He spoke it to the whole community, including the leaders. And remember, Jeremiah was a prophet. So Jeremiah was speaking on behalf of God. Tells him that he's going to, after you've been there for 70 years, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come and do for you all the good stuff that I promised. And then I'm going to bring you home again. So we don't have to be fretful right now about the socioeconomic status of, quote unquote, our country. You better be focused on your church. You better be focused on your home. You better be focused on your individual community. You better be focused on what's going on in your city. Because you can't fix stuff going on all across the United States of America.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If every state has a governor, you can't be a governor over a governor and five or six other governors sitting in one little community. Ain't your job. Your job is to deal with your Jerusalem, then your Judea, then your Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And you may not get to the uttermost parts of the earth. So your mission may just be Jerusalem. We have to be so focused right now that it ain't even funny. We can't have passive words coming across to us from pulpits, over the airwaves, over TV, over Facebook. There has to be these strong voices coming out right now. Should have been coming out. Because everybody had to know that somebody was going to lose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nobody spends $150 on a slot machine. I'm not talking about, you know, just in general, you know, regular working folks. Yes. Nobody just loses $150 walking away like, whoo, I'm so happy about that. Because when you lose, it usually doesn't make you feel good.
That's right.
And when you've invested into something, it really don't make you feel good.
Right.
Because you worked 40 hours to get that extra $150 after you paid your bills. And then you lost it on the slots. No, you ain't walking away talking about, man, that's all right, it's cool. You're like, man, lost that money. All that work that I did building up to that. So I want folks to understand, Mama, that your efforts can't be in vain. You have to continue on pressing on. And even to go back a little bit further, if we really want to go back to the beginning of this whole thing, God allowed them to be in captivity.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He allowed them to be in captivity. Yes, they played a part in it. God eventually said, okay, y'all keep it up. Keep it up. I'm going to give you the warning. Then eventually he allowed it to happen. So when you hear folks talk about God is on the throne, that's true. He allows whatever to happen to happen. Ain't got to do no blaming the devil. Ain't got to do none of that stuff. Whatever happened, God allowed it to happen. Go to look at Job. Look at all those possessions, resources, and finances that Job lost. God allowed it to happen. So the one of the critical things that we have to do in this season, because truth be told, 4 years, still 4 years.
Yes.
It didn't matter who's going to be in office. Them 4 years still going to be those 4 years. The term limits for those in Senate and those in the Congress were still going to be those same term limits. Same thing with the governors. Same thing with the local politicians. Their limits are their limits. So once they're there, they're there. Here's the question. What you going to do now? If you want Jeremiah 29:11, right? Because again, you hear that with these messages about prosperity and God's going to bless you and he's going to open up these windows of heaven for you and do great and wondrous things for you. Okay, well, let's be true to the word of God. When God said that, he said he's going to be there for 70 years. But he said something else if you keep going back. That's why it's just so important not to just take one-liners and just try to run with them unless you're really using Proverbs. But here's what he says in verse 4. This is what the Lord of Heaven's Army, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled. Build homes and plan to stay. That's verse 5. Verse 5 continues on. It says, plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Verse 6 says, marry and have children. It goes on to say, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Then it says, multiply, exclamation point. Then it says, do not dwindle away, exclamation point. These are all things that the people had to do while they were in Babylonian captivity. So if it winds up being a little bit challenging during these next 4 years, where the guy says, build homes, plan to stay. Because you can't go nowhere.
Yes,
most
man.
Of us in this country can't go no doggone where. Let me tell you how we know folk can't go nowhere. I don't care what folk try to say, I'm going to Canada, whatever. Okay, whatever. I hear you talking. You got folk that can't even leave Florida when they know a hurricane is coming. So you sure as heck ain't going to Canada. You got folk that couldn't get out of Louisiana, right?
Yes.
When Katrina came, was coming or hit. We know that. So it ain't just easy to leave. And sometimes just leaving is not the thing that God wants you to do, because there's something, a blessing on the other side of that thing, if you're willing to endure. Here's the part of this passage of scripture that I ain't heard nobody talk about. I read you verse 5 and 6. Here's what 7 says. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Oh, my goodness. He goes on to say, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. I read that again. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. The Lord sent them into that. We ain't here at this. We ain't here at 8:40 on November the 10th, 2 days after election, just because. Everybody where they are right now, God has ordained for them to be there. He's allowed for them to be there, and or allowed for them to be there. Some folk going places where they want to be. Ain't got nothing to do with God. But this thing says, this word says, pray to the Lord for it, for his welfare will determine your welfare. So if you're not willing to do all that, you can't go ahead and skip on down to verse 11 from verse 7. You can't skip over all that and go to 11 and say, I know the Lord. Here's what the Lord of hosts says. I know the plans I have for you. Huh? How you going straight to that? You can't do it. Can't do it. Well, I guess you can do it, Mama. I guess you can. But let me.
But we'll be effective.
Yeah, let me know how that works out. I mean, God has set some stuff up, so we have to be encouraged during this time. And the message that I'm speaking to you, who've allowed it, you who wanted it, you who voted for it, you who didn't vote for it, you on the left side, you on the right side, you on that other side. I don't know where the libertarians fall on the side, you know, wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is for everybody. We all have to do this thing because we're all in this.
Yeah.
Everybody's still in the United States of America. Tomorrow, we're all going to still be in the United States of America. The next day, everybody's still going to be in the United States of America. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. But this is what it says, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city for which I've sent you into exile. So he's talking to his chosen people. If we don't work for the peace and prosperity of the city where we are physically at, don't look to anybody in the White House. Don't look to anybody in the governor's mansion. That ain't our task. Our task is for the peace and prosperity of the city of which we're in.
That's good.
Okay, let's break that down. Let me take that back one little notch. If you ain't willing to do it at your church, if you're not willing to allow it to happen at your church, don't talk about what's going on in the world. Don't talk about what's going on in somebody else's church. Remember, Jesus' words was, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. In the place that they were when the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 or 124 was exactly where God has sent them, exactly where they were supposed to. Matter of fact, Jesus sent them, right? This is where you need to go. Go in the upper room and wait. Jesus sent them into the exact place that they need to be at the exact time. When the Holy Spirit got involved, when the Holy Spirit came, that's when everything shifted. That's when everything changed. But they were on one accord.
Yes.
They were on one accord. Didn't sound like it. They all didn't look like each other. They was on one accord. Because the bigger thing was the most important thing. What their thing was not the most important thing. Man, we have been up here all this time. I really got to go to work tomorrow. Nah, I don't think they was talking like that. I think everybody's mind was committed on staying there until that Holy Spirit came.
Yes.
It came when it came. But I just want to believe that if they stood there for 3 years, they'd have stayed up in that room for 3 years, constantly calling on room service, like jurors being a jury, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they can't go nowhere, knock it on the door, bailiff. Yeah. Here's our order.
Go to the bathroom. That's right.
So we gotta stick this thing out because the future is not in our hands. The future is in the hands of our young folk, our next generation. And I say our next generation, so, you know, the millennials. The future is in their hands. So what they see us doing, what they see us not doing, will cause them to do the things that they're doing. And I truly believe that millennials had a very big role in the outcome of our election just a couple of days ago. I truly believe it in my heart. I ain't seen no statistics. I'm not worrying about it. I believe that in my heart because I've heard their conversations. And a lot of their conversations have come because of what they've heard a lot of us talking about or not talking about. So if we're not going to get together and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where God has sent us into, don't look for it. Don't even try to go to verse 11. Don't do it. All you're doing is just reading it. Because that was a promise. He said, I will do this. I will do this. He talked about what he would do. Before he did what he would do, the people had to do what they had the ability to do. And maybe that word of God came to them. Maybe that word of God came to them through the prophet Jeremiah from God, because he knew that them being in exile, them being in that place for that specific period of time, those specific period of years, we're going to have a couple of them just shook, not feeling good about their situation. And if you go back a little bit further to the beginning verse, the letter that was written not to just the people. It was written to the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people who had been exiled. So that lets me know that it doesn't matter what the heck your position is in the church. You're still in the same place as everybody else, even when you ain't experiencing what they're experiencing.
Yes.
I think I'm done. I'm done, Mama. You got anything?
Yes. I was just thinking about when you were saying that we can't take back words that were spoken. And President Trump's elect, you know, speech when he, you know, he says, let us all work together. He says, let us all, let us just all lick our wounds and keep on going. And I just thought about what you had said when, you know, it's important what we speak. I had someone to ask me, said, why don't you, you know, in on Facebook, and this wasn't about POF, they just want to know why I'm not, because they know I like to talk, and they wanted to know why I don't ever see you getting involved in conversations on Facebook, you know. And I said, well, I just don't really have much of a reason to, you know. I said, and when I do get on, you know, I said, I really have nothing to say but just give people the word. Because I do realize you have to be careful what you say and how, I can say for myself, and what I say out of emotions. And so I didn't have any comment about anything about the on Facebook. And I guess that, you know, some of them were wondering, you know, what do I have to say? Well, I don't have anything to say on Facebook. And, you know, if it's not a positive thing, then I don't need to be putting it on there anyway. And so now that, you know, as he says, we just lick our wounds and just keep on going, you know, this is going to be a process, because a lot of hurtful things have been said, you know, back and forth. And it takes time for people to, you know, to digest it, to just really heal from that or forgive or whatnot, you know. And I don't know. I'm just going to leave it like that.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. This is one of those times in our space that, again, we're not going to get off track.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to speak truth. We're going to continue to, as Pastor Jackson, Javon Jackson, said to me, as he gave me an opportunity to speak to his people one time, just speak life into them. And so that's what I hope that has been received and translated tonight, that it may not look good for some folk, for the quote-unquote the winners and quote-unquote the losers. and quote-unquote the folks that just really don't care. It may seem like it's not good right now. God is still in control. And we have to know that. And in addition to knowing that, we also have to be. We have to be who we are, who God created us to be, how he created us to be, and he created us to live in community with one another. And so since he's created us to live in community with one another, that's the only way we're going to deal with some of the socioeconomic challenges. That's the only way we're going to get a better understanding of possessions, resources, and finances. That's the only way Matthew 25 is going to be actually lived out, not the latter verses, but the previous verses. That's how it's going to happen. And we just have to allow the Spirit of God to move in all of us. We have to allow the Spirit of God to move in all of us. Because if the Spirit of God is not moving in all of us, we'll have some chaos that we don't really need to deal with. And we don't want to deal with that chaos. We want to see what we're doing. We want other folks to be able to see our work. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Greater works. Jesus healed folk. You know how it becomes greater works? When people operate and exercise the gift that God has given them in the area of healing. So you can go to the Bible and you can actually get a number of how many people Jesus healed. And then you can go and you can see other places where he healed more than one person. So you can take that and you can estimate some numbers. But that just doesn't even compare to the amount of people that we can do, that we can help. Because there's so many more of us that profess that the Spirit of God lives within us. So count this, y'all, as a precursor to what we're going to be doing, where we're going to go in 2017 dealing with financial healing. I mean, we're going to start off in 2017 like we've done for the last couple of years dealing with financial healing. And not only are we going to deal with financial healing, but we're going to deal with some other things because God's people are in need big time. Big time.
Yeah.
And the healing is there. God is just waiting on us to do our part so it can be manifest. So with that, I think I'm gone for the night, Mama. I think we're just going to go home and enjoy the rest of our evening. I do have this one quick announcement. Our show that we had at 4 o'clock on 92.1 FM in Columbus, Georgia, they've done some restructuring, so we will be coming on, or I'll be on the air at 12, from 12 to 1. Starting next week. So just go to our website and we'll get something updated once I have the particulars about the actual station that it will be changing to, or that they will be changing to. So prfministry.org is the website. You can also catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/PRF. So listen, we'll see y'all back here at the PRF table next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for all of my veteran colleagues, all of those who we know or don't know, tomorrow is Veterans Day, Mama. So we definitely want to wish everybody who is a veteran happy Veterans Day. And also to say that this is not about mourning. It is about a celebration for people who have served this country. In regardless to whatever branch of service that they've served in regards to whatever conflict that they've been a part of, whether they have not gone to combat or it doesn't matter. There's several ways that people are able to get veteran status. And so we use tomorrow as a day to say thank you to all those who have put on a uniform, regardless of how long they put on that uniform. And you have to say that. And we want people to be sensitive to that because tomorrow is not Memorial Day. It's not about folks who have died in the defense of our country. It's about those who have served our country. So please don't make that, you know, please be cautious about making that distinction or not making that distinction, because a lot of it offends a lot of veterans when people mix up Veterans Day and Memorials Day. Veterans Day, again, honoring those who have served our country. That's it. You put on a uniform, regardless of when you've done it, we say thank you. So you know there's going to be a lot of businesses that are going to be showing appreciation for our veterans across the country, different restaurants. So take advantage of those things if you have served in. And for those also, you just never know what a veteran is going through, especially those who have served in combat, especially those who can't get proper medical attention through the Veterans Administration. PRF matters, right? Again, show them your appreciation. Show them that you love them. Show them that you care for them, because a lot of what veterans have gone through is unlike anything else that others who have not served have gone through. So, again, tomorrow is Veterans Day. We here at the PRF table, we say happy Veterans Day to every veteran who is out there listening, regardless of what branch of service you have served in. We thank you for your service. So with that, Mama, we out of here for the night. God bless you. We will talk to you soon. And we'll see y'all again, as I said, next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. Go to our website again, prfministry.org. Keep up with what we got going on. God bless you all. We love you. Peace.